This episode brought to you by Syrup Co. Syrup Co. makes simple syrups for your cocktails, coffee drinks, sodas, and more. Nate and Jacob started Syrup Co. in 2020 as a way for people to create tasty drinks at home that are easy to make and super accessible. They cook, bottle, and label every single bottle themselves right in Salt Lake. From their roasted jalapeno syrup using fresh roasted jalapenos to their cherry pie syrup using tart cherries from a small orchard in Willard, Utah. They try to use the freshest and most local ingredients when making their syrups. With fantastic flavors and an Instagram full of recipes, they will not let you down. Find their syrups at a handful of locations and buy directly on their website by going to www.syrupco.com. Use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out on their website for 15% off your order. That's right. Tell them we sent you. Plug in the code TASTEMASTERS and save 15% off your order. Until the next syrup, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, my friends, fun episode today. In this corner, I have Ryan Stanbaugh. Stanbaugh, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I love how our friendship has blossomed over the years.
Oh yeah,
year.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like multiple years of friendship.
Every time I see you, we always have a fucking joy.
The second we met,
and it's been fucking hilarious. It's been good. Every time we go, we have some good stories, dude.
Oh yeah,
some damn good stories.
I'm excited.
So, thank you for coming on today. I just want to get to know you better, and I want to share your story to anyone who listens, and I want to know. Who's Ryan Stanbaugh? All my coworkers, all the girls that went to the Idaho Beer Fest think your name was Steve the whole time.
I get that.
But your coworker is Steve?
Yeah, that's our head brewer.
And then they thought your name was Roger after that. An R, right?
I got an uncle named Roger. I get it. So, it's in there.
And I was like, no, his name's Ryan Stanbaugh. Are you sure his name's not Roger? Yeah. Pretty sure I know his name's not right. Maybe. And now you got me guessing. I don't know.
I have a Roger face.
I should text you and be like, hey, is your name really Ryan?
My real government name.
No, but Ryan, I think everyone that knows you thinks you are incredible. And I think you're incredible. So I want to know, who the hell are you? Where you come from? What do you do? Tell me from the loins of your parents, from the Stanbaugh up to now, where'd you come from, dude?
So I was born in West Bend, Wisconsin, lived in Mayville there for about 7 years.
So you're a Packers fan?
My dad's a huge Packers fan. Chargers by choice, Packers by heart. I still gotta love them.
Do you have a cheese head?
I do.
Same, by the way.
Nice.
I really do.
Yeah. It's perfect. And if anything, it holds chips and salsa afterwards.
And that beer. Three beers. Actually.
Oh yeah. It's perfect.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, from there I moved to California. I moved around a lot through there just with parents' work. 6 months, Culver City, Hermosa Beach, Woodland Hills, then moved up to San Ynez Valley. That's where I pretty much had my formative years. That's where I went to elementary, high school, everything there. And so I was a San Ynez Pirate. So I played football there and then played some softball. And then from there, just moved around through California and then made my way to Utah about 6 years ago. I am one of those Californians that moved to Utah.
Oh, you're that guy.
I am one of them. I am a good driver, though. So I got it. I got that part.
Are you a surfer?
Poorly, but yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You beach bum?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. I didn't go to the beach as much. I was in more of the mountains. Mountains have always been super important to me. So, it's always had more fun going up there and hiking. There's a couple of abandoned castles and shit.
Castles?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was fucking cool. There was a lot of little parties and shit.
Do you ever go back?
I've been back about 3 times now. It's cool. It's fun. It's always nice to see, where you grow up, your old friends and everything. I'm a big fan of just staying in the present and, kind of going forward. So it's been, everyone's, California's expensive.
I gotcha.
So there is that
part. Seems like everyone's coming to Utah, right? Now Utah's expensive?
Yeah.
Great.
Fucking Californians.
I blame you.
That's fair. So do I.
No, but do you think you call Utah home now?
You know, I do. I think Utah has a lot of aspects that I really like in life. Like, I do the mountains, the stars, anything like that is really where I want to be. My family here, have friends. Like, it's, yeah, I love Utah.
That's dope, dude.
That's good. Yeah.
So then you came into Utah because of family, right?
Yeah.
And then what do you do in Utah?
Like, professionally, or
yeah, what you came to Utah? You're like, what's your first job in Utah?
First job in Utah was working for Uinta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was at two breweries in California.
Gotcha.
And so, like, I already had a decision that I was wanting to get into more further in the industry and actually brewing, and I didn't have too many opportunities in California where I was, and so Utah was a really good fix. I hit up Uinta. I applied for a packaging job, just doing canning and bottling, and they hit me back. They say, "Yeah, like, we're interested, but like, you need to literally live here to get a job," which is fair. I get it. Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. So that kind of helped push me moving here from California, and then yeah, pretty much right when I moved here, a month later, I was already got my job working at Uinta, working in the canning line. Dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What'd your parents think about you working in a beer factory?
They were super into it. Like, where I came from, like, there was a lot of wineries and breweries and stuff like that. So it was something that we already had an interest in a family, and, you know, just like the gathering around a drink. So it was, super interested in it. And I was already home brewing for 5 years before that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been home brewing for about 10.
Who got you into home brewing?
A lot of it just came down to just the interest of the process and getting to kind of play with flavors and just like learning how everything works and kind of building. Like, my favorite one of the things I love is like building recipes and playing with just different spices and different flavors and kind of just meshing it together and kind of creating that kind of art. It's also like the same with like cooking and baking.
I love doing
all of that, and especially if it's something that you can share with somebody that you put your work and kind of creativity towards. I think that's the bigger payoff than anything else.
Really? That's really cool, Stanbaugh. That's really cool. Wow. Man. So you see yourself kind of as like a chef, but with beer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, pretty
much.
But
you said you got wine, then you have food. Are you a great chef? I mean, I haven't had any of your home-cooked meals, so I don't know. Are you?
I haven't cooked anything for you yet. I will, though.
Keyword, yet? I heard that. You said that.
That's a capital yet. Yeah, I love cooking. I've been cooking since I was 10, maybe 10 years old.
Oh, wow, dude.
So I've always been learning. Cause it's just, it's fun to be in the kitchen. It's exhausting and it's hectic, but at the same time, it's super soothing and just kind of, it's fun to be part of that. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's like getting to, once again, cook something. And as you're doing it, you can be like, I kind of want some of this in there. I kind of want to play this. Like, I'm smelling off of this. Like, that's what I want in there. And then sharing that. Like, it's, cooking's been super fun. I'm a good baker. I got two back-to-back pie competitions at Uinta. Yeah.
Really?
Back-to-back what kind of champ. Pies? First one was a, what was it?
Don't say pumpkin. Come on.
No, it was not. It was a bourbon maple pecan.
Damn, son.
Yeah. It was good. And then I did a strawberry raspberry rhubarb with homemade whipped cream.
That's a little special there.
A little pizzazz, you know.
Wow. Man, Sam, I had no idea.
Yeah, back-to-back champs.
So then I want to go back to this wine thing real quick.
Sure.
So where did you pick up the wine essence of, like, why wine? Like, because I mean, going back to my early days, that's when I first became like, oh, shit, like, you can get different wines and beers, like alcohol, if you will, different families of alcohol, and they can taste good. And my first pairing ever was wine and cheese, and that blew my palate up. Like, I couldn't explain how, like, I was trying to tell my mother, like, the flavors, like, I just couldn't, you just can't nail it down. Like, that's so wine was like, has like a little special. If I can't drink a beer anymore, I drink wine and cider.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Same. But absolutely.
Tell me about wine. I want to know about the wine world.
So I love the wine industry, and so I was there in the wine industry for about 2 years, I want to say before that, and I wasn't making wine. I was just in the tasting rooms, pouring the wines and kind of selling them, which I think is almost more fun because you do get to have the tastings and explain it to people, and it's one of those things.
See, like, their reaction, too.
Yeah, and it's it's funny, is like, because everyone's palate's different. Like, and that's where I think I really learned that and kind of like honed that in, is like, everyone's palate's different. Like, I remember pouring a wine for a person, and like, I was like, yeah, you know, you're gonna get some tobacco and do all these things. And he was like, opens it up, smells. He's like, it smells like my grandmother's purse. And I was like, for sure. Like, yeah, okay, right, man. Like, yeah. I haven't smelled that purse, but it could. Yeah. And that's fair. But like, so it's just, I think that was a big part of it. But yeah, just working in the wine industry, it's so much fun. And it is such a community. And it's, they have industry days, whereas like certain wineries will like, invite all the other wineries to them.
Yeah.
And you just have free wine and get to meet and talk, do all these raffles and stuff. And it's just a lot of the camaraderie and just family. And it's all the same goal, is making beautiful wines.
Yeah.
And it's, I was spoiled because I lived in like a wine area, like a little wine town. So,
did you ever make the wine? Like ever, I know you said at the beginning, but towards the end, did you ever get into winemaking?
No.
Did you ever get to help with the process?
I did not. I've done the stomp before. Like, I've stomped the grapes.
Yeah.
But other than that,
the nasty ass feet.
Yeah, it's super like gross.
Sitting there just stomping.
Yeah. I think they had to dump that wine, but.
Jeez,
yeah. People. I know. I wore booties.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
No, but did you ever want to pursue like a sommelier? Kind of like go into becoming.
I did, yeah. I mean, I started doing that with a sommelier and trying to learn that, especially just it helped with honing in when trying to sell the wines.
Yeah.
But there is just like these nuances and just so much coming through there that I just wanted to kind of learn as much as I could about it.
Right.
And like I used to do just like blind sense or like sense and just like go through and sniff certain things and like just be like neurotic about it. But like, yeah, that was like towards the end of that is like I started working for the breweries. And started at Solving Brewing Company, and I was doing their sales and like marketing and running their little tiny little gift shop outside of this. It was a windmill. Like I just worked in this little windmill.
Did you really?
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It was really fun, and like we did their like little R&D batches. I did their social medias, ran all their gift stuff.
Oh, that's super cool. Like, so going from the wine world into the beer world, was that a difficult jump? Was that an easy transition? How'd that go about? Like, I mean, I feel like in my mind, I feel like wine is more snobby, but. Yeah. And more happier drunk.
More happier drunk. And it is definitely like a different, it is a little more snobbier, stuffier, you know, with wines or like wineries. But I think there is a nice enough mesh that it was. The wines are more eloquent. Just like it's more like you sit there and you listen to classical music, you know, some soft jazz, you know, and you just kind of talk about it. Whereas like going into the breweries, especially it was a newer brewery just popping up, is just everyone just like, hey, like, what do you got in here? And so I think it was just a happier calm drunk versus just like a very energetic, just this high tenacity kind of drunkness.
Oh my God, it's me.
Yeah.
That's totally me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a brewer.
I know.
I couldn't be a wine person because I'm not serious enough.
Yeah, not anymore though. But like, that's the thing is like wine's changed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's so many wineries that are kind of adopting that kind of energy and just so kind
they
of
need my energy to go into wine.
Yeah.
All right. So I might, if you're listening, Derek, I might be going into the wine biz.
Let's do it. I'm down.
I told Joel from Mountain West if I ever couldn't drink beer anymore, I would make cider. I would just make cider.
Yeah.
Because cider is like fucking fun. And
it is.
I feel like it's. I say it's lightly. It's. Easier to the fact that it's basically apples and you got to take care of, you know, what the process is and how you do it and the enzymes, all that. When beer, you have to like make a bunch of things. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I don't know.
There's definitely like a bigger process with beer and kind of playing with it. Whereas like ciders, it is, you're just allowing the yeast to, you know, do what it needs to do with the apples and kind of convert it.
So think of like potatoes. Like you can make mashed potatoes, you can make potato french fries, baked potatoes.
There is.
Or you can get a bunch of cereals and try to make a fucking beer out of it. I feel like that's more complicated than trying to make just different things with the potato, right?
Yeah.
In a way.
I see it. Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like the apple is beautiful, pears are beautiful, but. Yeah, I feel like I'd be more delicate though. More, yeah. It's like the pilsners of wines is try to make that perfect cider.
Yeah,
it's really hard to. If you can master a cider, it's like getting a pilsner in beer.
Oh
that's,
yeah,
that's just
I can see that. I did bring a cider if you want to try it.
Yes,
that's the first one up.
Oh my God, yes, I am parched. I've been a host here or a guest at your home, Stambaugh, and not offered one beverage.
I've offered two, okay?
No, so tell us about this, because you said you were homebrewing back in the day. So this is a homebrew, correct?
Yeah, I made this right when I moved here, actually, because now I'm into the secondary apartment that I can't brew here because I don't have enough water access. I can still brew at the brewery, but then I'm at work. Gotcha. So it's kind of a different separation. So, yeah, what this is, just a straight up cider. I did dry hop it with whole cone Eldorados.
Oh, shut up. Where'd you get the Eldorados?
I got it through work.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we just used all yeast on it, and then I added a little acidity through key limes. Ooh. And it's about 6.5.
That's a nice little haze on there, a little chill haze.
Yeah. It's been chilling.
How long has this been in the bottle?
About 4 months.
Okay. It's a citrusy apple on the nose. I haven't tasted it yet, but that nose is...
It's super interesting. I mean, it definitely has changed throughout the time. Like a lot of these homers that are brought out today, like I haven't tried these. They're some of my favorite ones that I've made, but it's been a minute. Yeah.
That's deceiving.
Yeah.
Because it smells way more tart on the nose for me, like more acidic.
Yeah.
But that does not taste...
Super crisp, easygoing. Like it's... Like I said, when I was bottling this, I ended up having to take a nap afterwards just because I was sipping on it the whole time.
Yeah, this is easy. Like, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
That's nice, though, Standby. I like that.
Thank you. You want to know the funniest part of this?
Yeah.
So the apples that I used are fucking generic, just bottled apple juice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know that doesn't make me sound as cool as our artisanal, but I was like, the first time I'm making a cider, and I could have gone to the farmer's market and got a gallon for $15, and I was making 10 gallons. I was like, and that's an expensive fuck up if I fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, let's just try some juice real quick, see what happens. Threw some enzyme in there, and it turned out.
I mean, yeah. Like, it tastes, you still got like that pectiny taste at the very end.
Yeah.
I mean, it tastes like the skins are still. Did you get the skins on? No, it's juice, you said. Mm-hmm. I mean,
straight up juice. There is kind of that acidity. I think a lot of that's the key lime coming through and kind of plays with that and does give a little more tartness and kind of play with
what the. What kind of key lime did you put on it? Like, did you get squeezed key lime? Did you get puree juice?
I bought a bunch of key limes and just squeezed them in there.
Oh, wow.
Then I just got to squeeze the shit out of it.
This is kind of. This is really
twirled
nice.
Around and let it go. A little yeast nutrient.
Wow. I like this. Is easy. Dude. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's actually one of the things I love about a cider is like. Especially, like, I don't have that many, like, options here to go brew. I can bring something in here. I can ferment it out and just play with it. Just play with fermentation and yeast.
You sneaky bastard, you. God damn. So what's another cider idea you have?
Well, I'm still waiting on my baby right now, which I still have in the carboy. After this, maybe I'll pull a sample for you.
Right.
But right now, I have a breaded one. That uses a Brettanomyces bacillus, and then I use Meyer lemons, and then London ale yeast. So we'll see how that one kind of plays out. It's been hanging out for a minute. For different kind of ciders, I do like playing the idea with different hops. I'm almost wondering if I can do like a cryo and see if I can play something there. Ooh. Also, maybe play with some wood. Maybe throw some kind of oak in there. Like, I'm a really big fan of, like, French and, like, Hungarian oaks. Oh, so that can kind of play with it.
What's that one French barrel? It's, like, Armagnac or...
Oh, I don't know.
Armagnac? I got to look that up. But there's one that Clearwater does. The only distiller in Utah County. And they have French barrels. Their whiskey's in French barrels from France. But it's only in regions. Like, I want to say it's Armagnac. Anyway, some awesome. And it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It had, like, wintergreen and cinnamon and vanilla and fig. Amazing. And I'm like, how are you getting all this right now?
Yeah.
I hate all of you. Yeah, it was fantastic. And it drank. There's no alcoholic burn on this whiskey.
Just clean off of it. Oh, that's dangerous.
Dangerous.
I'll get you.
Stand by. I'm impressed with that. Good job, dude.
Thank you. I'm not going to lie. That was the first cider I've ever made.
Well done.
Thank you.
So the first cider I made was at Mountain West. I did a mango chili with Joel. And good. It was fun to, like, you know, play with the yeast and pitch the enzymes and just see it munch away. And, I mean, I wanted more spice and I wanted more pepper, like the pepper meat and the mango. But for a first attempt, I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like this one because this one's like a nice table or any time of day kind of cider. You can serve this hot, cold, with any. I mean, I could pair this with anything.
Yeah.
I really could. Crackers, cheese, olives. I mean,
a little meatiness, meats, like anything.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's super easy.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween.
Oh, this was some stuffing. I'm fucking there.
Oh, game over, dude. Game over.
I gotta make it again soon.
Okay, so going. Let's go back to the brewery for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So you work for the Squires and Wasatch, correct?
Yes, I'm a production brewer. Yes.
Gotcha. So what does production brewery do? Like, what do you do at your job? If you don't mind me asking.
Oh, you're fine. So with production brewing, I mean, it is a lot different, in my opinion, than just like doing like a lot more like a smaller breweries. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm having to do like 6 brews a day, at least 60 barrels per. And so we're having to constantly running through it. And so it's having to figure out that time management, the right amount of yeast, your aerations, everything else. It's a big constant fluctuation. And I mean, there's times where we're in 2 different fermenters, 3 different fermenters, you know, pitching from the entire like different side of the brewery. So I think with production brewing, there is a lot more room for like mechanical fuck ups because everything's running.
Gotcha.
And constantly running.
Moving pieces.
It breaks down after a while. And so I think it's just kind of having to learn and adapt to that and just having that constant flow and just having like a time management. So it's not necessarily that we get opportunities to just like play and create, but we're keeping everything in a consistent flow.
So it's nice that you can create at home.
Yeah.
In a way. You can do some little home brews.
Yeah.
And I like that. So going from cider, what have you brewed outside of cider?
What do you mean by chance?
Like you brew beers, like all sorts of beers, not just ciders?
Yeah, I mean, I've been brewing beers for about 10 years now.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
So, I mean, I've done a bunch of different styles. Like, I don't like really honing in on one thing. I like to kind of just play with it.
What's your one favorite style? Okay, what's one favorite style you love to drink? Like, you'll go out of your way and drink that style. And what's one of your favorite styles to make?
Ooh. I mean, I'm a basic bitch, and I do love hazies. Like, I drink that shit. I like it. I think that's one thing I love. I do like a clean pilsner, but like my favorite beer to make, like brew, is French saisons. Just saisons in general, dude. But I love a French saison yeast.
Why French saisons?
I think it just has a better like strawberry and citrus note to it. A little more farmhouse. It's not necessarily Belgian. It's just a little more fun to it. I think it has a better aspect and does kind of play into the different nuances of like a wine and cider.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of just plays with it. So
nice little happy medium, if you will.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. So then when you became a brewer, you've also judged beer before, correct?
Yeah, recently.
So what's it like to judge beer at a kind of almost higher end competition? That's like a homebrew competition.
You know, it was a awesome experience. And I'm super fortunate that, like, I was talking to Lauren Lurch over at Uinta.
Shout out Lauren.
Yeah, she's the best. She's smart. And, like,
she's awesome.
She's so badass. Like, I told her, I was like, this is my first time I'm doing this. Like, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know it was your first time.
Yeah, that was my first. And she was like, don't worry about it. You know, be humble, be knowledgeable. Like just be yourself. And she kind of talked me through it. And, like, I appreciate for her. And it did make me feel better. And just, like, a little more at ease because I was nervous. Like, these people have been doing it for years. And, like, I want to trust my palate. But it was so much fun, so educational, and it was really hard at times. Like, it's probably, like, the classiest bender I've ever been on. Because it's the only time I've, like, woken up and it's like, fuck, it's 9:00. Like, I need to start drinking. But you're doing it classily. So it works out. Like, it was okay. I could find...
That got me good. That got me. Like, classy bender, gotcha.
Yeah.
Damn, it's 9:00. I gotta start drinking again.
Yeah. I mean, I ended my first night judging everything at 10:30.
A.M. Back in bed at 10:30.
Yeah, I was done at 10:30. Went to bed. Was back there at 9.
12 hours of drinking, dude.
Yeah. Well, we got there at 6 or some shit. It wasn't terrible. It was like the first night, though. But
okay, good. I was going to say, start at 9 a.m., go to bed, you're done at 10. Like, damn.
No, that's a big day. No, it wasn't that bad, but I mean, you have to be standing. It's a marathon, you know, not a sprint. So you do pace yourself.
Oh, I like that.
And so, I mean, cool. But it was really cool to, like, kind of see how other people are doing it. And you can kind of figure out, like, just different nuances and different ways to kind of clear your palate and just calmly just look at it. And it was a better way, I think, for me to just like help like dissect and just view the beers and different styles and just see how different you can make a specific style throughout the country.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has a different opinion and what they feel from it.
I feel like going, being a judge at this last competition, you kind of got humbled by it, and you were still, that thirst for knowledge is still there. You can see that. Like, you can see, like, oh, I'm still learning. You've been brewing for 10 years plus, and you're still learning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's really cool, dude. That, the fact that you're like, oh, shit, there's so much to learn. Like,
there's so much.
Once you surrender to that, like, I don't know everything, you're like, oh, I want to know everything.
Yeah.
That's like, I guess that's why I keep doing it, because I love learning from, Lauren told me, like, first generation, second generation, she called me a third generation brewer. Like, it's fun to learn from the ones above us, but then I realized the second generation are learning from us, third generation
people. Yeah.
I don't know where you would fit in, but maybe second generation, but it was fun to hear her say, yeah, I'm learning from you. And I'm like, oh, what? Me? Like, you're like my idol. Like,
yeah, one of
my
idols. And for sure.
Like, how the fuck you learn? So, like, it's nice to that fresh passion and that, like, thirst to learn reminds them, like, oh, yeah, I remember why I did it. I remember why it's still cool and why we're still doing it. Because, like, a lot of times you're a brewer and you're like, fuck this shit. I am done. I am going to be, fuck beer.
Yeah.
Fuck making it. Fuck everything.
There's like that 1 week where
you're always going to have that every job, dude.
He's like, I'm done.
I guarantee you, football players, NFL players are like, fuck this practice. I just want to go play the goddamn game. And then if it's losing, like, fuck this game. You know what I mean? Like, there's always those bad days in any situation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, LeBron James trying to, like, fuck basketball. I play it every day, all day. Like,
true.
I get it. But
that's why you went and made a movie.
No, I'm going to edit that one out for sure. No, but it's really cool to see how us as brewers are still learning in the brewing scene.
Oh,
and what I'm trying to figure out is how we can help educate those non-brewers or those non-in the scene. Because you and I are in the scene. And we're fortunate enough to be in it, and it's really awesome, and we get to see cool things. But those common folk, if you will, that are just like, I drink beer because I like beer, but I don't know anything about beer – what would you say to those people?
I would say it's to the, I think the biggest, more important thing else is we need to be more open to talking to people about it at any kind of level and everything else, and not doing like any kind of gatekeeping or anything. Because I feel like I like the older generations brewers. Like every time you, like, you go ask a question, and they'd be like, "You fucking, like, you don't need to know this shit." And it's like, no, like, let's be open. Let's actually, like, express things and, like, help people learn it and kind of push them towards that. And I'm not even saying, like, you don't need to get down to, like, the science of everything with everyone, but, like, if they're asking questions, you can still help out. I think just communicating it and just helping people and being open to it and understanding that they're still in that thirst of knowledge. I think that's, we're all trying to have a common goal of thirst of knowledge and kind of growing. So I think we should, if we have the opportunity, we should help people grow.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, I think sometimes you gotta swallow your own pride. Like, I'm not in that, you know, that side of the world, right, kind of. But I remember being like, what the fuck is this? And I wanted to know. And I guess I was one of the few that questioned it and, like, I sought it out. But it's hard to teach people who don't seek it out because it's kind of intimidating. It's kind of like, shit, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But
then I guess if they want to start making beers, it's like, go make some beer.
Yeah,
it's going to be shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I've made some terrible fucking beer.
But that's what I feel like, that's one way – you know how not to make a beer.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, isn't it Thomas Edison's like, I didn't fail 1,000 times making a light bulb. I just found 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb.
Exactly.
I get that. And I'm like, huh.
And that's
smug motherfucker. Right. Yeah, you're right, I guess.
No, and that's absolutely true. And I think every time I've made really bad beers before, it's like, huh, what did I do?
Ah.
How do, like, you kind of, like, narrowing it down is like, okay, like, what caused that? Like, how can we grow from that and how can we avoid it? And I mean, I've made, like, I remember my first beer that I made as a cocky piece of shit was a fucking red ale. Without knowing anything about it, it turned out to be one of my friends, which I'm super appreciative of them because they drink all of my beer that I did not want. That was terrible. But they said that it was a lesser carbonated Newcastle.
Oh.
Which was not what I was going for. But like, they drank it all.
Huh.
They were still supportive. But
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
High five.
I made a couple gym bag beers, you know, a little funky. They're not supposed to be. Like,
gotcha. But you went back and realized, what did I do wrong? What happened? And try to figure out. And and make it better. Not, well, I can't do that, so fuck that again. I'm not trying that again. Yeah. You're trying to hone in, like you said, your craft. Like when you're a chef and when you're trying to make different desserts and everything, you're just trying to what does it need? Like, yeah, let's fix it, kind of thing.
And you just kind of point at that, and you're kind of just fine tuning everything until you kind of find that, and then eventually it's gonna click, and you're like, okay, no, like I need to kind of like incorporate it with everything, and then kind of play with it. But until then, yeah, just make beer. See what you can.
Or that goddamn bourbon maple pecan pie. Fuck, dude.
It was good.
God, you said that in my mind since. I'm like, oh, man.
I'll make it again. I've only made it once.
Man, it's award-winning, apparently.
Award-winning, back to back. I got two trophies. God. They were
that's three more than I have.
They were painted golden, just beer bottles, but I still have them.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever won anything in my entire life.
What?
Seriously, I don't think I've won any award or any. I got a participation medal. I think I'm the first one to get – I remember being in soccer and I got a participation medal. I'm like, what's this? Oh, a participation medal. And that's – I think I started the trend of participation medals.
Hey, I mean, you won trending.
I mean, so. I started the trend of – like everyone gets a medal. Just goes.
I remember I once won remember Arthur?
Oh, yeah.
The Arthur Aardvark?
Aardvark,
yeah.
Aardvark? It was like a rat or something. I don't know. Yeah. So,
maybe. They had at my local the library, they had a guest of jelly beans, and you can meet Arthur, which is confusing as a child.
Really?
So how do you meet that? I won it. I didn't get the number right. I was just close enough.
Oh.
So I got that going for me. It was good.
You are amazing, Stanbaugh.
I know. I got to meet Arthur, too.
Son of a bitch.
It's what a time to
I
be alive.
I haven't even met my own dad. So let's go to the next beverage you have here, right there, Stanbaugh.
So and next up.
I'm excited to see what you have, dude, because – While you're breaking this open, who's an idol you have in the brewing scene in Utah?
In Utah?
Yes. Well, outside of Utah?
Outside of Utah, I'd say Matt Brindelson.
Who's that?
He's the head brewer for Firestone Walker.
Oh, shit.
He was a hop chemist. He went to Kalamazoo, and he just loved beers and figuring out hops. When he was working for San Luis Obispo Brewing Company, they shut down and they got gated off, and he would break in every single night to check all of his tanks.
Really?
And keep all of his beers healthy. And he got caught when Firestone was taken over, and they're like, who the fuck's breaking in here? And they caught him, and then they gave him the head brewing position because it's like, you obviously give a shit about your beers. Like,
no way. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. For Utah, I'm not. I don't know if I necessarily have idols.
Idol, but this one, like, you look highly.
I mean, Templin.
Templin?
Yeah, makes beautiful beers. Like, it's clean, it's good. It's just. I think we're all just kind of grow. I don't know.
I mean, I think. Yeah, Kevin's. I fangirled when I met him. I really did. I geeked out a little bit. So, yeah. And when he comes on the show, I'm going to probably need help geeking out the entire time.
Yeah.
But what do you open for us there, Stanbaugh?
This is a French saison that I made. Yeah, and with I soaked some Hungarian oak and some Chardonnay, and then I also did a secondary fermentation with Brettanomyces, and it does have an experimental hop in it. That was experimental 6 years ago. I don't know what it is now.
Oh, so it could be like
it could be anything at this point.
FS539.
Yeah.
All right, with experimental hop 5S395. I'm excited, dude. Man, look at that. That's golden sexy. Wait, you guys are 6 years?
Yeah.
Stanbaugh. Thank you.
Six, of course.
That.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Fuck. Oh, dude, that's
interesting. That carbonation actually held up really well.
Well, that head is thick, brother.
It is. That's actually.
What do you get on the nose?
It was a little like a hay and barnyard, like nice little funk. I'm shooting. My goal when I made it was funky pineapple. I don't know if it's there anymore.
Dude, I get that hay. Like, I feel like I just walked into a barn.
Yeah.
I really do.
Like, dude, almost full on, like not shit barn.
You know, you know that morning dew? Like that light dampness?
Yeah.
Like that in a barn. That's what I get. It's a little bit, almost wet. Yeah, a little bit. Not a farmhouse blanket, but no. Like a.
It's like a nice French farmhouse sign.
Oh, man, that's got funk on it. I get some, dude. Hey, listen. I mean, I've said this many times in this podcast, but I want to start a side hustle of beer candles. And if we can capture this into a candle,
yeah,
come on now.
I'd be down. I get a lot of like honeysuckle.
On the nose?
Mm-mm.
Oh, like.
No, not on the nose.
Okay, I can see where
you're going. A little finish there.
It's sweeter than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, me too.
Are you disappointed in that?
No, I mean, this beer's been kind of ever-changing for 6 years.
What is that? At the very back, at the very end.
I don't know, that's what I'm trying to like.
Hmm.
Or that is what I'm getting, like, it is, it's a sweet finish.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of, like, do you remember those little honey sticks?
Oh, yeah. The plastic ones, and you kind of, like, push them through?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
That's kind of like the honey that I'm getting through there.
That's the sweetness you're getting?
Yeah.
I get a lot of Lucky Charms and Cocoa Puffs.
Sure. Maybe some Kix.
I recognize that sweetness. I see where you're going with that.
It's.
I mean, I like it. Yeah. I really do like it. In 6 years, wow.
Yeah. It's holding up good.
The carbonation, I mean, it's fantastic. Yeah, for 6 years.
I'm really surprised on that one.
I mean, it looked great. And it. Semi sweet.
Yeah. Sweeter than I'd want. But I mean, for 6 years, I don't know if it just kind of broke down.
I don't know, dude. But if I feel.
Remembering correctly, it was 7.3 ABV.
So now it's like 7.5.
Probably.
That's weird, dude. That's really cool. Yeah, that barn hay is right there. I love that. I love
it's
that.
Not, it's not offensive. It's no, like,
it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of my favorite memories is horseback riding with jalapeno. I think.
Ooh.
I mean, I was saddle sore. Like, I understood what saddle sore meant because the next day, that next night, or the same night, excuse me, I was like, why do my thighs feel like, I don't know, on fire?
Just, yeah.
Hey, oh, excuse me. Oh, my God. And that's what it was. Like, I was dying.
Oh, yeah.
But walking on a horse, or walking on a horse, riding a horse.
You walked on a horse?
Right. Like Zorro style. Yeah. I was, you know, riding horses with Holly, and we're going through these fields, and I'm like, I could be a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
I really could.
Where were you riding horses?
Up at Sundance. I mean, nice. Sundance is like my second home. So anything I do weird, it's up at Sundance.
Okay, that's good to know.
But Sam, I love this. Anyway,
thank you. So yeah, I'm super happy with that. Like, it did turn out. I've been curious about it for years because this is the last one. These are the finals of all my my best members. Well,
thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate that.
Unless they taste bad, then we'll never talk about them again.
We'll just edit it all out.
Yeah.
So we may have tried 7 beers tonight, and no one will ever know.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I had a great memory with the horseback riding. What's one of your favorite beer memories? Like, give me a beer memory where you've had either a beer you've made or a beer you've had recently that you're like, it just struck you to a far off standby memory lane.
You know, actually, you're involved in it.
Because shut the
I think,
hell up.
Yeah, I think the collaboration that we did when I got to come down to Strap Tank, we made the maple brown ale. I got to meet you.
Oh,
it was just like
fun
the
day.
Best. Like, it was a great day. It was the first time I've gotten to go out and do collaborations. Like, it was a fun day. And I think it was just getting to see different brew houses, meet new people, and just kind of see. It's fun to see other brew houses and the way things are kind of. How their mechanics work and everything, and just kind of understanding it and like checking out. I'm a sucker for a forklift and boilers.
Oh,
so
got 'em.
Nice, it's fun to see.
Got them.
Yep. Got them. But yeah, I would say that's probably like my favorite just memory.
Oh, glad to be a part of it, dude. Yeah. Like, thank you. I mean, that was really cool. You and Derek came up with that maple brown donut idea.
Yeah.
There's someone else involved with that, right?
I don't believe so.
Just you two?
Yeah.
But anyway,
well,
I remember
you.
I mean, I was just the gimp that helped set everything up.
And you did it wonderfully.
I did. But thank you. I mean, I just remember Derek was off doing something, and when the cone shaped, and I go, Stanbaugh, come check us out. Look at the cone. Mm-hmm. It looks like the Eye of Sauron. And you're like, doesn't look like the Eye of Sauron.
Well, it was close to. I could see it. Like,
you're like, That looks like a brown eye. No. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. I just call it the ISR on all the time, like, no matter what. But
is that what you see when you put the ring on?
Yeah, every time. Yeah. The inside the boil kettle, it's like, oh. But I loved at the very end. Well, my favorite part about that day, and I mean, obviously getting to know you was great because, like, we're great friends because of that.
Yeah.
And that beer was fantastic, surprisingly. I was like, I was like, it tastes like a goddamn maple bar.
The nose on it was so nice.
Oh, yeah, it smelled great. Beautiful. I love it. And you guys blew through it at the old tap rooms, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my favorite part of that whole day was after we brewed, cleaned up, everything's done, we went upstairs and we had a end of shift. We're all done working. We had a nice cheers pint, like, good day. Like, we had a beer to tie one off.
Yeah.
And then we went on our way. Like, that. That little camaraderie, like that's what it was all about.
For sure. I mean,
just like having that beer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sure, we're making beer for others to enjoy, and we hope they enjoy, and like that's the goal. But us friends getting together, and we made that beer, and we like
finally get to sit down, you do the cheers, and just like, kind of like that finally, like that final, just like, okay.
And that picture, whenever it comes up in my memories on my phone, I'm like, that was a fucking good day. That was a good day.
It was a fun day.
Yeah, but going back to collaborations, you got to do more collaborations, dude.
I know.
And I don't know how you can do it at work. I know, because you got a bigger – you come from a bigger corporation, a little bigger.
It's bigger, and I mean, a lot of it is like we're still training new staff right now. So I'm kind of just picking up some more slack and doing other things. So it's just – it's hard for me to get away.
Yeah, but it's the –
And I mean, we're talking about it even in Park City with Niels.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to do a lot of more like internal just collaborating with him and us going up there.
Do it.
And I was getting chances to brew with him, maybe do throwbacks or try some new things.
Got it. Because bigger, like, I think big companies, in my mind, in the brewing industry in Utah, you got Uinta, Squatters, Wasatch, Red Rock.
Yeah.
Those four, in my mind, should and need to start reaching out to smaller breweries or breweries right fucking next to them.
Yeah.
And just do collabs. That's it. Because Squatters and Wasatch is known outside of Utah.
Okay? Yeah.
So Squatters and Wasatch and Kaitos. Like, what's this Kaitos? I want to know what Kaitos is, right?
Yeah.
Like, this beer's awesome. Or like, or even a TF or a Fisher collab or a Shades collab. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah. I 100% agree. I would love to do it.
And what I want to do is, like, if I had it my way, I would just be doing Tastemasters collabs with everyone.
You should.
Like, I'm going to. Watch me.
But, you will.
Because we're going to have the proper collab come out soon.
Yeah.
And this is... The proper boys reached out to me and they're like, we're just going to do a Tastemasters proper collab. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So why can't we do a Tastemasters Policy Kings, a Tastemasters Heber Valley, Tastemasters Utah, Tastemasters Talisman, Tastemasters Roosters? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Why can't I go do all that?
You should.
Because I feel like beers that are made in Ogden need me brought down here.
Agreed.
Beers in Salt Lake need to go back down south, vice versa. Utah County need to go up the Ogden. Fucking, you know, Policy Kings, they're, I know they're small, but Policy Kings shit needs to be here.
I agree with that.
And so,
that.
Like, either can we somehow contract, collab, brew up here for them?
We should do, I mean, we should do,
you know what I'm saying?
Collabing. I mean, that's, I think, the hardest part with, like, Utah, everything is kind of, like, spread out. So, like, I think if we're to like, get all those beers together and like, actually disperse them a little bit, and we actually make names for like, all these breweries, I 100% agree with
exactly,
that. That'd be perfect.
If I told you, like, hey, we're going to go to Heber Valley Brewing. I don't know what beer they have. I don't know who they are, but I know they're in Heber Valley. That's all you know.
Yeah.
And that's sad because you should know right where it is, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows where Red Rock is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows where Uinta, Squatters, and Wasatch. Everyone's now knowing where Fisher is and where Kaitos and TF.
Yeah.
But you got a bunch of other breweries that need to be well known.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need to really like,
I think,
boost them up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So if you could do a collaboration right now with one brewer and one brewery, and it could be the same. Who would it be?
One brewer and one brewery?
And there's one's like, I want to do a collab with that person. I want to do a collab with that brewery. Whether it's Ryan Stambaugh does it or Ryan Stambaugh of Squatters and Wasatch. I don't care. What do you tell me?
Huh. Honestly, I would like to go like do something with like Levels Crossing and kind of just work with them and kind of see. I've seen their brew setup. I think they make great beers.
That's it?
Yeah. That's. I think they'd be really good. I mean, can't remember the name off the top of my head. Even Bewilder.
Oh, yeah. Cody
like, I'd
Ross
like to go see
there.
Cody. Not Katie.
Yeah. I call him Katie sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, I get it.
But, I mean, Bewilder would be cool because I think Bewilder, in my mind, has a really good taste for traditional German beers.
Absolutely.
They just need something. I don't know what it is. It's not as bad. Cody's making good shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he needs more people to be involved to either help him or to fine-tune his craft. Because Kevin Templin told me this in Kevin Templin gets mentioned like every podcast.
That's why I didn't want to say Kevin Templin, but I was like...
No, but for me, I would love to brew with him. I would love to him and Jay... Like, I would love to brew with the whole crew over there.
Yeah. For sure.
He told me the first 90% of brewing that beer is the easiest part. It's the last 10% of honing it in is the fucking hardest part that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dear God, that's where I think Bewilder is. I think Bewilder has figured out the 90%.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, they are trying to figure out...
Just that last 10%.
And you know what? When they figure it out, whether it's tomorrow, next month, a year from now, 5 years from now... Bewilder will be another TF, another Fisher, another fucking big dick swinging, and they will be fucking pulling out great beers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's the same thing. It's like I look at the boys up in, or not the boys, but the crew, all the crew up in Ogden, and distillers. I look at distillers. I have a lot of distiller friends that they have great products, but not every single product is a home run.
Mm.
And I see some of them that are like, oh, my God, this certain distiller has been working for years, and he's honing in or she's honing in that last 10%, and they're right there, dude. The cusp is right there, and your product is showing for itself.
Yeah.
And I think if us brewers with more or with either a lot of experience or a lot of passion can just kind of show up and kind of help and just
offer any kind of help or anything, dude. Information that we have.
And that's why collabs, I think, need to happen more, because then whatever's happening at the co-op, I might not be doing. So bring that to me, whatever we're doing at Strap Tank, maybe we can help you with, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sambo, on that tangent, we are going to take a quick little break because I need to use the men's room.
You're great.
I don't know about you.
I could use it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Taste Masters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But, guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
All right, Sam Bob, we're back, and I want to know the first question. Favorite bar or brewery to hang out in?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm super curious. I mean, there's a lot of different ones, but I would say for bars, like Duffy's, it's just a good,
it's like a divey bar.
Yeah, it's a good divey bar. Like, it's just super fun. It's nice on like St. Patrick's Day. You know, they get the bands out there. It's good beers, good people. And then for breweries, I love Hopkins. You know, it's super nice. The beer is good. The food's great. You can people watch if you want. Live music. Like, it's just a good vibe place. Like, I think those are my two.
My only complaint about Hopkins is that I'm not there more often. That's really my complaint.
No, I can see that.
Fuck.
Why aren't you there more?
I live in Utah County, boy. Like, all we have is really, really dive bars, and they're rude. They're like old school, really first generation rude.
Like,
and then I have Wing Nuts. Wing Nuts is like my jam in Utah
County.
Wing
Nuts is cool.
That's where I go. That's my crew.
Yeah.
I'm known there. That's like that bar where I show up and they're like, they know exactly what to pour me, right?
Yeah.
Or if there's new beers, they want to show it to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool.
Is it like a cheer scenario? They yell your name when you get
in there. Kinda, yeah. And it's actually really cool. And my wife's always like, how do you know everyone? I'm like, I don't know. Just be nice to people.
Yeah.
And I'm really good with names. It's kind of a gift I have.
That is nice because I'm terrible with that.
That's okay. I'll help
Jelly.
You.
Okay.
I'll be like, that guy. Oh, okay. You mean Schleppman.
Yeah. How'd you know?
No, but stand by. You brought us something. You talked about how you create and you make and you not just beer but food and you made jams for me.
I did make you jams.
You spoiled me. Yeah. Okay, tell me about these jams. You're not just a brewer and a wine connoisseur, but you are a jam maker.
I'm a jammer, if you will.
I like that.
It's a recent new thing. The first one I have for you is just a peach and basil. Super easy. Nice chunks of basil kind of coming through. It's a little more of like actual like a jelly consistency. But peach is coming through super nice. And it's just a good just run-of-the-mill kind of basic jam, but it's perfect. Really good for spreading. Put that shit on a pork chop, whatever you want. Like, super good. And then the other one that I made you, I was a little hammies and pajamas last night when I made it. So
you still wear pajamas? That's
awesome. When I get hammies, I make my pajamas. But yeah, also, yes.
Oh, gotcha. I wear onesies in the winter with the butt flap.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
You got the little butt flap thingy?
I really do. I'll show it to you one day. Okay. Not like the opened bum flap, but I'll show you the bum flap.
This one is habanero with red jalapeno and then a raspberry base with fresh ginger and a pinch of sage. Just a pinch. Oh, my God. Nothing crazy.
My bidet's back at home. How am I going to survive that one? All right, I'm going to open this peach one.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, that smells green, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Is that fresh basil?
It is, yeah. We got some fresh basil. I went out.
Dude, let's spread this. You got a canifi or something we can...
I'll grab you
spread it on this, the naan
bread. The naan bread, yeah.
Naan dippers. Dude, I'm super pumped. I mean, no one's made me jam before on my podcast. Like, that's really cool. I mean, jam... I don't know. This sounds really cool. So why when did you get started in jams? Thank you, sir.
I got started in jams like a month ago.
Oh, this is fairly new.
I've just been fucking around. I got an emulsifier, so I want to play with it. So I just started making jams.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'm pumped.
I hope you enjoy.
I'll give you my honest feedback.
Yeah, please do. And if it sucks, then we'll just erase that.
Edit this out?
Yeah.
I love editing things out. Oh my God! Here we go. Stand by. Ooh. You gonna try some of your concoction?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's really complimentary.
Thank you.
I hate you. That basil's a nice touch.
It just it pops a little bit, you know, but I don't think it's too overbearing. It's just
okay. Okay. Here's a little inside David's favorites. I love almost like a dark golden brown toast with a thick layer of butter and whatever jam I want in my life. Like one of my favorite breakfasts is if I had apple butter, orange marmalade, raspberry, grape, strawberry, all the jams I could ever have. And then in each bite, I just put new jam.
Okay.
I would fucking choose this jam and put it on my toast.
That is the nicest compliment I've ever gotten.
I'm serious. I'm really enjoying the like garden freshness of the basil, but that sweetness of the peach just comes in like really nice, dude. I really like that.
Thank you.
Because like you get like strawberry jam, it's sweet.
Yeah.
Grape, sweet. Orange marmalade, kind of tart. Apple butter, really sugary.
Yeah.
But this one's like sugary, but with that little.
It's almost like it's a little like a. I like to think of it more of like a healthier sugar. Like just it's a natural sweetness, but I think that basil just gives a little more of like an earthy kind of like backbone to it, and just kind of follows it through. And it's not an gnarly consistency; like it's not super thick.
Yeah,
I don't add a lot of pectins to everything, so it's just try to keep it like as clean as natural. It's just so it's more of a sauce, but like
dude, and I could see you making like a chutney with it, or you could put you were saying putting on pork, like put on some braised the beef.
Yeah,
I think that'd be really cool.
I would love to sip with some braised beef.
Putting this on some pizza would be bad. Like, we're talking.
Okay.
Hear me out. Bear with me. Some Hawaiian pizza. Mm-hmm. Let's dip it in it.
Ooh.
So a little pineapple tartness, a little bit of that ham you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
A little some cheese.
I'm here for that.
Dude. And prosciutto. Let's be real.
Of course.
Okay, now I got to try.
That with a little bit of goat cheese, though? Yeah.
So you are a brewer and a jam connoisseur now. Wow, you're a master of all trades.
I like playing with flavors and getting to share it with people is like my favorite thing. It's like even when I bake, Like, if I were to make cookies, I'll have one and then just give the rest away. As long as they taste good.
You got a big-ass heart. I think that's why you and I connected so well is because you just love.
Yeah. And it's like sharing, expressing that with people. And, like, that's through creation, like creating alcohol and food and anything like that, I think it's just really a good way to express that and kind of connect with people.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
People connect over sharing things. Mm-hmm. And with beer, it's also alcohol, so it's a win.
It makes you feel better, right? Yeah. I mean, it helps out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But one of our mutual friends, I asked, and I'm gonna call her out, and she might not like this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But one of our friends, Libby. All know
the coolest.
Libby Taylor. She's got a big heart like you. That's why I think I resonate with her a lot, is because she's just a sweet spirit.
Yeah.
And I fucking love her. She's awesome. I asked him, like, hey, I'm interviewing Stanbaugh tonight, and do you have any questions that you would like to ask me to ask Stanbaugh?
I don't know.
And she's like, you got this. Like, yeah, whatever. And then she goes, I want to hear about his 5-year plan and credit score.
Oh.
That was a damn good question.
That is a damn good question.
I usually ask about, you know, people's plans, but Stanbaugh, I would like to ask, and if it's too much to ask or too detailed, you know, don't worry about it, but What's the next 5-year plan for Stanbaugh?
Next 5-year plan. I think the biggest thing I want to start kind of looking into is real estate and buying a house and kind of working into that. Making multiple different facets of money and income. That's why I'm still helping with my family business and everything else. Yeah. So I think just growing that, but I don't have any plans of leaving Utah or anything right now. It's just Yeah, I know. You're welcome. But just kind of honing in on this, and that's, you know, part of things with like making jams and kind of just fun ways that I can maybe make a little bit more money and just kind of express that in have good ways. But yeah, buying a house, getting a dog, you know, just trying settling down. Yeah,
like a wiener dog? Or are we talking like a wolf dog?
I was thinking more like a corgi. But okay. I'll fuck with a wiener dog.
Dude, I want a wiener dog so bad so I can dress it all sorts of, like, I want. One day he'll be with mustard. One day he'll just be with ketchup. One day he'll be relish. One day he'll be a vegan hot dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want a wiener dog really bad.
Are you going to like extend it, make like a Polish dog once?
I didn't think about that, but yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to put buns right here. I'm going to put gluten-free buns one time. Like, I'm going to make his tail the stick so he's a corn dog. That's you know amazing. What I mean?
Yeah.
God damn. My wife's on board too. So like, game over. We just inherited two cats. So
yeah.
And not going to be for a while. But when I'm 60 years old, you bet my ass I will be.
You just need like a pack of them at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's Oscar Mayer commercial? And there's like a field of wiener dogs just running down this hill.
Yeah.
And someone sent to me and I'm like, I want that. I want that farm. I don't want that right now.
Speak it out to the existence. You know,
you're going to.
Yeah.
But I have an idea for your jam thing. Can we call it Jamba?
Ooh.
Ryan Jambaz.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's interesting. I like that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's talk about your credit score real quick.
All right.
No, but she also asked, like, she wants to know the favorite profiles that are shared between beer and wine. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But what's something that you really like about wine, like profile-wise, and you really like about beer?
So I think a two main common thing that kind of work together with it, which is also something that I'm a little more passionate about, is just oak and kind of with the woodworking with it.
The barrel. Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the barrels and just like picking those barrels and kind of creating with it. And then so I think that plays a lot of it, because then you do get the spice and the vanillas, you know, a little bit of leather and tar kind of going through. Not tar, but like everything's kind of coming through there. I would say that's a big problem, like a big kind of common thing with it. But also I like, you know, especially like some stainless Chardonnays, you get citrus and lemongrass. And I think you can get that with a lot of more newer like even lagers or like saisons and like a more lighter beers, you can get a little more kind of playing through there. But I think for me, the main thing would be the woodwork and the time that kind of goes through with that.
That'd be fun, dude. What's the first beer you put into a barrel if you had a chance?
Ooh, the first beer I put into a barrel, like anything I've made.
Oh yeah. If like whatever style you're making a beer and you're like, I want to put, you got a hand of whatever barrel you want and what beer you're putting in that barrel. Like what's the first beer, like French saison, we're looking maybe stout, porter, lager.
Honestly, the next beer that I brought with you, I made in a small 5-gallon barrel, and I would actually like to boost that up and kind of see it. And so,
oh my god, did we just make the best segue ever?
It did work out well. Look
fucking
at that!
A, let's do that.
This is a, so I had a small little barrel, just a little bourbon barrel, threw in this porter with it.
That you made?
I made this. The goal was adult chocolate milk.
Adult chocolate milk.
That was the goal. And this is 2 years old.
Oh, shit. So while you're doing that, I'm going to look up the French oak barrel. That way I couldn't figure out what it was called.
Oh, right.
I'm going to try. Man, I can't. It's gonna bug the shit out of me.
Damn, look at that head, too.
Wow.
These are holding up.
So if I ever need head in my beer, I'm coming to you. Because obviously, you know how to do it. Let's see.
Well, that's beautiful.
That's a little reddish hue on that. I like that. Interesting.
I think the bourbon kind of settled out a little bit. I'm not getting too much. Maybe a little bit of oak, but like...
I get alcohol-y nose. Is it hot?
If I remember correctly, it was about 8. And being in the barrel, it kind of added a little bit up there.
Oh.
Chocolatey. Kind of nice well-rounded finish on that one.
Stone fruity.
Oh, yeah?
I like that.
You like it?
Yeah, I really do.
Thank you.
I mean, no, this is dog shit. Pour it down.
So we're going to cut this beer.
Yeah, this one will be edited out. So whatever we say right now, I can say whatever I want. I'm trying to get that nose. That nose, it's barrel-like. You said it was bourbon barrel?
It was bourbon barrel. I'm wondering if that kind of fell out.
See, I'm like... Almost plummy.
Plummer, maybe like a fig?
Raisin, yeah, like yeah, that. You're like the same family, yeah. Right? I mean, it's not bad, yeah. But I always think I'm going to get more woody characteristic.
When I first came out with this, it did.
Oh, gotcha.
It was very pungent. But yeah, I don't think this is really falling through. I'm not mad about it. Just a little more aged. Just
yeah.
Yeah, it's raisiny. I can see that. Yeah. Like, it's get a little bit of like a Tootsie Roll.
I get a Tootsie Roll at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like that. You had a bunch of Tootsie Rolls. You like threw like 17 in your mouth because you're trying to hide it from your mom real quick. Sure. And then you swallow it.
Yeah.
That like residual taste.
Yeah.
That's what I get. Okay. You're right.
A little sense of danger in there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm going to get caught by drinking this. Like, oh, shit. Right? What would you do differently? For all these. I'm curious. Now that, I mean, I enjoyed them all, dude. I really
did. Thank you. I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting that I haven't even, like, come back to these. I've, like, squirreled these away for, like, just a moment like this. The cider, I would change the carbonation. I want a little more carbonation with it. And so I think that would have brought out a little bit more. For the Saison, I want that Brett to kind of come through. I would change that malt bill a little bit.
How do you get Brett to come through? I've never fucked with Brett. I'm not familiar with...
It's still something that I'm definitely learning about.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I think what's awesome is it's ever changing. It's just constantly new, and there's so much information, and just how you can actually utilize it. I like doing it in secondary, so I ferment out everything that I can, and then I allow the Brett to get in there, and usually just rack into a different carboy from
there. And do whatever the fuck it wants, kind of thing.
And just let it get freaky.
Yeah.
Let it bread around. And so I would change the malt bill a little bit on that one, possibly change the hops. I think it's super nice still. I think it's still holding up, but I just think it could be better. I still really love my porter. Like, this thing has been my baby. Like, I worked at least 6 months on that malt bill, the hops, just everything. Like, I would probably change the barrel, realistically. Mm. I think it's still very enjoyable, but I think better fresh, in my opinion. But gotcha. I think it's just kind of one of those things, especially with, like, wood aged beer is it changes and kind of morphs into its own kind of identity throughout the time. So this beer is completely different than when I tried it, a year ago.
Gotcha. It's like more wine-esque, if you will, like the aged juice head.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you kind of come from a wine-ish background.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that this beer does that.
It kind of plays,
It's kind of a nice little quizzical way. Definitely. I like that. So you have one more jam to try, though.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, that jam is going to work nicely.
With this porter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can try it first.
Here we go.
I'm curious. It's pretty.
Is it going to melt my face off?
I don't know.
Oh, my dear Lord. That smells like Satan's ass.
I know. Hopefully that ginger kind of cuts through.
I'll give you my honest feedback.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I couldn't get as many habaneros as you as wanting for your jam, so I threw in the red jalapeno.
Why habaneros for my jam? Why do you keep saying that?
Because this is the one jam you said you wanted.
That's true. I did say I wanted that. Yeah,
I created this for you.
But you put jalapenos and ginger in it, right?
And a touch of sage.
Okay, so when I smell it.
I guess I'll try some.
It smells like my rectum will bleed. Like, that's what it smells like.
Oh, shit. It will if it hasn't started already.
But I do like the habanero nose. I really like that.
Me too.
But I mean, it's actually hiding the raspberry for me, though.
I'm hoping that raspberry is going to come through a little more on the flavor.
All right. Cheers. Here we go, bro.
I get the raspberry.
Oh.
Well, there's some heat.
That's nice.
That's like a good like upfront heat. It's like sitting like mid palate, but like it's not burning. It just sits.
Yeah, so I want for it to kick in, but it's not kicking in.
Yeah.
The second bite might be different.
Yeah,
it tastes like an Asian heat though.
For sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Hispanic heat. Asian heat.
I almost wonder if like that ginger kind of plays into that.
Oh yeah, like wasabi and ginger.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, that's fascinating because I feel the jalapeno and the habanero heat wanting to come and just rail me, and it literally stops.
Yeah, like it's like a gate. Just sits there. It's not even like concurrent, like burning like a slow burner. It like comes in a wave and just stops, and then that sweetness kind of plays through. Oh, yeah, how's it with the beer?
Brings out the bourbon.
Ooh.
In my opinion, it brings out the bourbon. It really does.
Come through that little bit of heat there.
Because it like opens up. Because now I feel like my nose is opened up too. Like everything, my palate's opened up with the heat.
Sure.
That the bourbon in your barrel comes out more.
Okay.
That's me though. I mean, tell me.
Sure.
I feel like you got a better palate than I do. But no, so try this out. No, seriously.
I think you have a wonderful palate.
Wow, Sambar, that's actually very interesting.
Thank you. I like making weird shit.
I was nervous. I thought literally I would have to go home right now to my bidet and sit on it, but I don't at all.
You and your bidet.
What's wrong with my bidet?
Nothing. I think your bidet is wonderful. I just am jealous. Soon I will try it.
And my wife has a Prius. Okay, what are you going to do about it?
Well, that brings out the bourbon.
Am I right?
Yeah. That absolutely does. It kind of like in that back, it kind of comes through and kind of coats over that heat. Like that's
one of my thoughts is make this porter again with a little bit of heat.
Yeah. Huh.
Is that fascinating?
Yeah.
Is it just me or you got the bourbon?
No, that's beautiful actually. Like that's it's fascinating, but it's.
Oh my god! It's like how Brett can do funky things, but if you add a little bit of heat, sometimes I get scorned because I don't want to put heat in every beer I drink. It's because like. I think heat brings out different characteristics and like opens the palate a little more.
Yeah.
And this is proof, like, it does.
Yeah.
I would love to give this beer and that jam to a lot of people right now.
To what?
A lot of people right now. I would love to, like, here, try this and try this. And this is a pairing right here. Like, I'm very pleased right now. Like,
I'm taking a picture of these two together.
Please, so we can post it on the gram.
The gram? Everything.
Yeah. No, but stand by. While you're doing that, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Yes, sir.
About this. When it comes to the Utah craft beer scene,
mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part about the Utah beer craft scene? And what's the one thing you wish you could fix about the Utah beer craft scene? Utah craft beer scene, excuse me.
Utah craft beer scene. You know, one of the things that I do love is there is a community and ever-growing like camaraderie that's opening up and being kind of just togetherness.
Yeah.
And I think especially throughout the year, everything. But I think there's better. Like, there is a tendency of a frenemy type like dynamic, whereas like some breweries like talk shit about other breweries. But it's like we're all on the same goal, and I think everyone has like toxicities. Sure. But like I think it's kind of coming together. But I think just it kind of comes down to I was talking earlier about doing the collabs and kind of like getting around there and doing that. So I think if we actually like have a better camaraderie. So I mean, I think to answer together is the one thing I like is also something that I would like to see fixed more. Because I think that kind of environment and community is awesome to see. I just think there's toxicity of it, and it just needs to be a little bit honed better and just opened up a little bit more.
Gotcha. So how does one go about doing that?
That's a great question. I think the biggest question... Honestly, I don't know. I mean, how do you... I guess having these discussions in itself right now would be something as a good jumping point or starter to it.
Yeah.
Because now we're actually like talking about it. And so I think that's a really important part of it. And I just think that starting the conversations, having an education and being open to other people and kind of wanting to express and kind of just share different dialects and talks about it with other breweries is kind of important.
And it makes sense, but coming from where you are at a bigger – you're a production brewery.
For sure.
So how does one who I feel like a production brewery basically has their mindset and they have that first generation kind of stonewall, don't fuck with me vibe. Our word is law. How does one go about
– See, I don't – I understand where you're coming from, but I don't necessarily see that as a production brewer. Cause like, it's like there's like the meetings and everything else is like we want to be a part of that.
Okay.
It's just we're having a brew consistently. Like there's no time for us to get away and get to go do things. And so I think there's like if we have those open opportunities, and that's I think there's definitely a newer concurrent shift of getting away from that first generation because it has been a problem in the past. But a lot of those people, have been kind of moving out of those situations and new people are coming in with new ideologies. So I think it's starting to kind of have that ball rolling. But yeah, I mean, as for us, like, well, for myself, I can't speak for anyone.
Correct.
Else.
Yeah. Right.
For me, it's like, I want to go to like those certain things. I do want to do the collabs, you know, I want to be able to go do that and kind of share that and just share what we have. And it's just, sometimes that doesn't necessarily work. Mm. And so that's kind of the frustrating thing. And that's, but yeah,
I feel like it's one of those things where, if I wanted to make time for you, I would, kind of thing. Like I mean, people like friends. Look at like friends, family. Yeah. It's like if I really wanted to be with you right now, I would make time. I would make it in my schedule to make time happen.
Sure.
So I feel like if those collaborations were to happen, it would happen if they'd make the time to happen.
And that's not really in our control.
Right. And I mean, you probably have zero say in it.
No, I – yeah. Which I get a fine, set schedule what I got to be doing. It's like,
I would love to sit in front of, you know, big wig, whatever, and I'd be like, listen, sure. Like – we have a beautiful community here. We have a beautiful Utah craft beer scene is fucking amazing. It's a little secret. Like everyone talks about the East Coast and California and Washington and blah blah blah. Go for it. Stay there. I don't give a fuck. Like right here in Utah.
Look how many medals we just took from Idaho.
Like we cleaned Utah, house. Yeah. In,
it was
in
so
Idaho.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was so proud.
And
to
I was
see
so
it.
Every time one of our friends won a medal,
oh,
I was
yeah.
fucking cheering. And you
oh,
could
yeah.
really
and
you
know,
like, they're I was
well deserved. Like they've been
hell
killing
yeah.
it. Like.
Hell yeah.
So,
and
I was proud to see that.
And not once I'd be like, fuck those guys for winning a medal. Not once I'd be like, yes!
Yeah, it's
yes,
the common goal.
Yes,
like, that's what we're doing.
Exactly.
And it's a representation.
And you know what? If you guys think Utah is full of, you know, uppity-ass Mormons and don't drink beer, then keep it that way. I don't want you coming here anyway.
Yeah.
Like, fine. Keep it for me. I'll drink more. I'll drink it all.
Yeah, exactly. This means more for us. That's fine.
Exactly. So I think put me in front of these individuals where I can have this conversation with, hey, listen, I know that this collaboration will make our community that much better. Like I'm saying, I'm going to fight like hell to get Palsa Kings up here in Utah County. Watch me. Or it's Salt Lake County. Watch me do that. I'm going to do it.
I believe you
because
will.
I think what they're doing is awesome. I think what people are doing around our environment, like people in Ogden, there's people in Heber, there's people in Park City doing great things, and they need to be put right here in Salt Lake. Because everyone just comes to Salt Lake and thinks Salt Lake is Utah. Salt Lake is not just Utah.
Yeah.
We have Moab. We have St. George. We have the beautiful Four Corners. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even, oh, my God.
I mean, personally, I love Heber. Like, yeah. Heber's a cool town. Sure. Like, so I think there's, like, yeah, there's so many cool spots in Utah. And just, like, little areas. Like, I think, which I think it's, yeah.
And so, and what I'm saying is, let's keep this beautiful and let's not be cutthroat. I never want to be cutthroat.
Never be cutthroat.
And so the one thing not to be cutthroat is just all be friends. Let's all keep it up. And if you don't like someone, then just don't invite them to dinner that night.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly.
It's that simple. But don't talk shit about them.
No. Exactly. And I think it's, I mean, I remember in one of your previous podcasts you were saying, and I think it's something that should be remembered constantly, is just don't be a dick.
Don't be an asshole. Yeah. Don't be a dick. Yeah. That's what Kevin
Templin. Don't be an asshole. Again, don't be a shitty person.
To Kevin Templin again. But it's like, you cannot be an asshole in this community and survive.
Yeah.
You can't.
No.
And I'm learning that really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm doing my – I don't – my wife may argue this, but I'm not an asshole. Like, I don't think I'm an asshole. Like,
I don't think you are.
I can do asshole things. Sure. Like anyone else can. Yeah. But I just love. And if they don't want to receive that love, I can feel that, then I just won't give it to you full-heartedly. I'll just, like, give it to someone else who cares.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but absolutely.
When you're ready to receive that love and you're open to it, hey, let's go back. Like, I'll give it to you again. Like, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like, I love going in the back of my brewery and saying hi to all the cooks. Every time I go up for lunch, go up and I say by name every single one of them. I say them in Spanish, English, doesn't matter who you are, I'll say them all. And they are like, and so this one girl forbids to smile. And I'll look at her and I'll stare at her and be like, how you doing? And I'll say whatever it takes to get her to smile.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, damn you. I'm like, damn you, damn me for making you smile? She goes, yeah. I'm like, you're welcome. Like, I don't give a shit, dude, you know? And I think one of the most powerful energies out here is love. I think that's what it is.
Absolutely.
And in beer. Love and beer. Like,
and they go hand in hand.
We shared that time when we did that collab, Ryan. Like, that was something that I wished we could do with our parents, our bestest friends, and our worst enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Give me some good beer and let's go to the Middle East and let's go take care of this whole, like, whatever's going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's just have beer, bro.
Fine.
Let's just talk about some shit. That's fine. Right. But you can't do that, right?
No.
But in Utah, we can.
Yeah.
And I think we need to keep it that way.
Yeah.
So, Stan Baugh, last question I have for you.
Okay.
What can I do, either as a person, an individual, a brewer, Tastemasters, what can I do to help you, Ryan Stambaugh, to be reach whatever goals you have in place?
Nothing. You're already amazing.
Oh, shut up. My mother paid you to say that.
Yeah, I'm so waiting
for real. You're waiting for a while, man. No, but what can I do to help you, Ryan, become a better artist? Because you are fucking phenomenal.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here tasting some of your home brews that I'm like, Jesus, these are holding up after 3, 6, 2 years. Like,
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Your jams, I was nervous.
That's my jam.
The jam boss. Like, they were awesome, dude. Like, and you literally have one of the biggest hearts around. And I'm like, holy shit, this kid is cool and he still brews beer. Like, holy fuck. Like, you're one of the examples why I continue to keep doing stuff like this, is because you are that incredible. And even when I reached out to you, like, hey, you got to come on the podcast, you're like, no, I'm not important. I'm not cool. Bullshit, you are. And I kept pushing, and you finally caved because.
Can't push it.
Because.
Yeah.
You do have a store and you are cool. And, bro, if I could. You got to know who Ryan Stambaugh is. Seriously. Whether it's in the brewing industry as a person, you got to know who you are, dude. So how can I help you, Ryan Stambaugh?
I think the biggest thing I can say ever help anything else is just never stop being you. And I mean that, just still have growth and still have like that passion and that want to learn and do everything else. So I think that's like the most thing, but like never be unapologetically yourself. Like, or be unapologetically be yourself. That's what fucking matters. And I think that's the most important part. I think that's what adds to the breweries. That's what adds to the beers, is everyone that's themselves and being an individual. But, like, just be you, dude. You're already doing a good job. You already have done so much for connecting and just like bringing all this together. Like you're the melting pot. You're the one that have started the conversations.
I never thought of it that way. I mean, you
should start.
I mean, Lauren Lurch says to me the other day, she's like, you gave us an excuse to all get together and like have a beer. And I was like, well, why did you need an excuse? Like, but sometimes we get caught up in the mundane life of our, And like, it goes back to the, if you want to make time, you'll make time.
For sure.
And I remember hearing that growing up. I'm like, fuck, like, what does that mean? Like,
yeah.
But like, even I learned that in my own marriage. Like, I need to make time for things that are important to me. And that's my significant, my Holly, right? Yeah. And like, you know what? I do actually like that. I do like doing that. I need to make, I mean, I make time for this podcast and the people I meet with and people I talk to. But and you said it earlier in the podcast, this episode, you said be in the moment.
Yeah.
And I've been really trying to be in the moment. And it's like I get frustrated like everyone else does, but I'm like, okay, why lose my shit about it? It's in the past. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So how do we go about fixing it now? Like, what do we do now to move on from it and be better?
To learn from it. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to do,
It's not easy.
No, I mean, it's no one said super easy, hard.
Like, and I mean, there's...
But it's totally worth it.
Yeah,
it really is.
I think it's learn to be in the moment. a lot of times, too, like after a battery, it could be just childhood trauma or whatever. Like, sometimes I forget certain things that happened in the past.
Sure.
So I'm just consistently, like, concentrated on the moment or the presence. And so I just, like, sometimes you can overcorrect that.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to learn. I mean, I think life's about balance.
Yeah, it is.
And trying to kind of find that. But I think being in that moment and just kind of understanding, like, saying something fucking happens, it goes to shit. It's like, well, that sucks. How do we remedy it? How do we learn from it? How do we grow? And let's move on.
Yeah.
Now we have,
No, but Ryan, I mean, I'm here for you, dude. If you need something, whether it's in the brewing aspect or in personal life aspect or whatever, Ryan aspect.
I need you to come do a collab with us.
Dude, you say the word, dude, and I'll make it happen.
All right.
Like, I will make the time. You give me at least a week's notice so I can tell my boss. And I will let you know. I'll make it happen because I would love to sit there and brew with you. Or even like shadow brew. I would love to sit there and
dude,
just watch
just
you brew.
Out, yeah, for sure.
For sure. I would love that, dude.
Yeah.
And let's get Steve on here.
Hell yeah.
I think Steve would be a good hoot.
He would.
Good conversation, but like.
He's a great brewer. Like.
And I would love to know that. I would love more. Like, people need to know that. Steve probably is like one of those under the radar brewers that if you've worked at Squires and Wasatch, you'd know who he was.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really like go and talk about it. He's very humble, but I mean, he's our best head brewer. He's taught me so much just from me being there, and not even about like brewing in the aspect of self, but like how to fix things, like maintenance. Because I mean, especially when it's, you know, a brewery's almost running 24/7, like those pumps break, belts on the mill break, and certain things that like in the moment when it's like a high stress situation, and now, you know, you can't stop the brews, like it needs to keep rolling. So you need to figure out what to like fix it and fix it quick, and get it actually fixed, not just some weird Band-Aid. Like, he's taught me that. He's taught me, you know, replacing steam. He's taught me so many things and, like, different just how to run that brew house and, like, the tenacity of just cleaning and good work ethic and working hard. Like, he's a great brewer, and I think he should absolutely be on here.
And that's why I think people like him need to be showcased.
Definitely.
And that's why I continue to try doing what I'm doing. It's not about me, dude. I mean, I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled to sit here, and I'm in awe of these awesome people I sit across from. Telling their story, get to know them better. While I'm sitting here to get to know them better, I'm trying to showcase their story to people out there who are not having the same conversation, who are busy with their own lives. But it's all about the people I interview, dude. Like, that's what this podcast is all about, dude. Yeah. It's those artists. You're an artist, and you're one of them, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad you took the time out of your busy schedule to come sit down.
It's a pleasure.
Crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce.
And enjoy some fucking awesome jams and homebrews, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I can't
wait to see you. I'm happy I finally did it.
Yeah, and we're going to see where this – I can't wait to see where our friendship goes and what else we can do, dude. And I can't wait for these collabs, whether it's in jam making or in home brewing or in actual production brew. It doesn't matter. But
let's barrel age some jam. Fuck it. Let's get weird.
I'm down, dude. I'm down. But, Ryan, thanks again, dude.
Of course, thank you.
And whenever you want to come on, be a co-host, let's go.
Okay.
Bring on, like – let's do this again, dude.
Yeah, I'm down.
Make some more home brews and some more jams. Let's do it. Let's do some Popeyes and let's come back on, huh?
I'm game. Yeah, cheers. Bro,
love you, man.
Love you, too.
Until the next beverage.
Definitely.
this has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.